The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with one of our most amazing and most bald coaches, Aviv Derman, calling all the way, or not calling, but chatting all the way from some undisclosed place in Germany. I think he's told me he's Israeli, so I can only assume he's undercover for the Israeli army and just pretends to coach owners of cleaning companies. But can you confirm or deny these allegations, Aviv? Let's just start there.
I can confirm, yeah. I actually live in Berlin, the capital of Germany. We have like 3 million people here. Three of them are Israeli, I'm one of them.
I hope you guys get together for like, you know, scones every couple of weeks just to, you know, hold the faith. Awesome. So Aviv is one of my favorite guys to bust chops. He's not Canadian, so he's not that favorite. But of the non-Canadians, Aviv's probably my favorite chops to bust. He is one of our coaches. And my goodness, probably my favorite thing, in all truth be told, about Aviv is just his love, 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 and desire to serve Cleaning Nation. So really, there's kind of twofold goal for this call. One, just to let you guys get to know him. And two, he literally came to me and said, hey, I'm in the Facebook group. We've got this massive group that I'm sure a lot of y'all are in if you're watching this, of owners of cleaning companies, you know, 15,000 people. And I had the same frustration. I didn't do anything about it. Aviv's like, let's go live and help the people. A lot of the questions that y'all are asking are not the questions that are going to serve you, right? Like, how do I clean this? And how do I bid that? And it's okay, you know, it's okay to know how to clean. It's okay to know how to bid. So don't hear me saying those are stupid questions or you don't need them. But, or how do I fill out an LLC? A bunch of questions that kind of feel business ownery, but don't really build a business, right? We can go do our paperwork and get insurance and make a logo and buy furniture for the office, all these things that like feel super like I'm playing business, which is great unless you want to make any money, and then it's not so fantastic. And the second piece of that is Aviv coaches every day owners of cleaning companies or guys and gals just starting. And he's also found, not only in the Facebook group at large, where it's most frustrating because we're not one-on-one and it's really hard. We can't just go into every, there's hundreds of comments. We can't go in. I want to kind of address them all at once. But even one-on-one, the caliber of questions that we, that are asked kind of hamstrings the quality of coaching we can give. So we just wanted to kind of take a little bit of time and go over good questions versus bad questions. I shouldn't say good versus bad, but like effective questions that are going to get you where you want to go versus less effective questions that are going to get you hung up. Did I summarize kind of what you were thinking and your hopes and dreams for our time, Aviv?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think sometimes people forget like what this whole thing is all about. And just remember, I mean, the name of this group and our company is How Do I Grow My Cleaning Company? And it's not how do I become a better cleaner myself with my own two hands. So assuming that's what these are, 15,000 people are here to do, like they want to grow their cleaning business and they want to stop being the cleaner. Yeah, we're absolutely on the same page. And definitely the quality of your questions, we just determine the quality of the results you'd be getting. So I did write a couple questions that I pulled out from the group and also from the conversations that I've been having with the people in the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going to be beneficial is for me to kind of ask you a question that has been written in the group, and then we can rephrase it for that particular question to be far more helpful. Does that make sense?
I love that. That's going to be a ton of fun. Yeah, let's do that. Hit me.
Cool. So first question is, how do I quote this? Like the apartment is this size, the office is this, whatever. How do I quote this? What do you think is a better question to ask?
That's got to be 25% of the questions. I'm just going by in the some related to how long will it take? How do I quote? Blah, 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 blah. So let me just to scratch that itch so everyone's not like not listening to me because they're still wanting to. Let me just answer that really quickly. And then I'll answer the important question of, okay, but what's a better question to ask that's actually going to make us some daggum money? So first of all, you want your cost of goods sold to be about half, right? So if it costs you $100 to pay a cleaner, right? And the don't be fooled. Well, I do it myself, so my cost of goods sold is free. No, you're the most expensive employee in the company, not the least, right? You're not free. Your time is non-renewable. So first, cost of goods sold should be 50%, assuming you're paying someone else to do it. So there you go. If it costs $100, charge $200. Second question would be, well, how do I know how long it's going to take? You'll get there, right? Like, there's no job, you know, that is something you can get in the group, and it's fine, it's helpful. Like, but there's no job where you're like, I think this takes an hour a night and it takes 23 hours, or I think it takes 23 hours and it takes two. Like, you'll get close, right? And some of it just is experience. You just have to get out there and do it. So there's the short answer that is, I'm sure, very unsatisfying to people, because what they're really trying to go is, how can I get new jobs? How can I make money? How can I make sure I'm profitable? Like, and by the way, if he's like, what are better questions? Those are all super better questions. First of all, let's start with our goal, right? With our clients, the first thing we do, module 1.1, is like core values and goals. Where do you want to be? Where are you at? What are your values? Let's go there. So if we don't know what our goal is, what's it matter what to charge, right? Because if our goal is just to clean as much as possible, well, then we might charge differently than if our goal is to make as much money as profit as possible, which might be different if we want to hire as many people. So we really have to get clear on the goal first. So the first best question, no matter what, is, what's my goal? Like, what do I want to achieve with this business? Is it freedom of time, of money? Is it a service? Is it impact? And there's probably going to be two or three, which is fine, but you need to get all of those. Second would be, what are the values, i.e. the rules we're going to play by to get to accomplish this goal, right? So those would be the first two questions for always. But specifically in terms of, what's a better question than how long will it take to clean this, or how much should I charge, is, how can I get a bunch more people wanting to pay me to do this sort of work, right? So if you screw up a bid and you get one bid every 19 months, you better not screw that one up. And even if you hit it perfectly, you still might not get the bid. And even if you do get the bid, that's probably not going to meet any of your goals. One lousy client, right? So how do I charge a specific job? It's fine. If you've got a job, let's figure it out. But you want to spend like 9% of your time on that. A better question would be, once I've got the right amount, how do I make sure that I can provide the service so I get the job, not just today, but I keep the job? That would be a better question than, how do I charge? And the even better question is, how do I get a bunch of people, more people than I can handle, coming to me, wanting me to do work for them than I can handle? That's probably the best question below, what are my goals and what are the rules? So those are the top two questions, no matter what. In this specific thing, it's, how do I get enough bids to hit those goals while playing by the rules? That, did I miss it, Aviv, or you're like, yes, that's what I wanted Mike to say?
I think you ticked 9 out of 10. I think it's a pretty good result.
Well, hit me with a 10. You can't just judge. You better have that 10 ready to go. If I miss one, you can't just...
And the 10th box that we will take right now, which is very simple, because if somebody helped you and commented on your question in the Facebook group on that particular question, next week you'll have another job. It will be faced with the same exact question, because you'll get a new job and you won't know how to price that job. So why don't you, or why don't we, come up together with a process, like a system, to understand, once I get a job, I just pour all the data onto a sheet, I do do-do-do-do-do, and it spits out a result. I don't need to kind of think and ask people what to do when I land the job and how do I price it. That's the 10th box.
That is why Aviv gets paid the big bucks. Exactly right. We don't want to reinvent the wheel every daggum time. Yeah, because if we answer the question, how do I get more people asking for bids than I can handle, by definition, we're going to need to be doing this process over and over again. So why not systematize it? And let me give a big disclaimer, by the way. Well, Aviv said that, if someone helps you in the thing, that group of 15,000 people, the only vetting that we do is to make sure they do our best, right? You never know, it's online, but do our best to make sure they own a cleaning company, not just that are sell a bunch of crap and we kick people out that are rude or try to sell crap. That's kind of our job in that community. We can't possibly, you know, we focus our coaching on our paid clients, because that's just how it works. So we'll jump in periodically, do what we can, but please, please, please know, there's a 50-50 chance that guy, depending on who you are and what experience you have, that guy knows less than you do, right? So it's a good form, but just kind of take it for what it's worth. Like, you know, our clients have a different Facebook group that's just clients. It's like 50 people. Those people, it's a little different thing. So just kind of a big asterisk of, if it's one of our coaches, you can be pretty confident, you know, we know what we're doing. We've done this a couple of times. But if it's just a fellow member, there's some really bright people in there that are amazing. there's some less bright people that aren't quite as amazing, and there's some people in there that have your best interest at heart, and probably some people in there that don't have your best interest at heart. So just in any form, not just mine, keep that in mind. All right, did you have another question, Aviv, that you feel is low value that we can try and supercharge?
Absolutely. So just to give a preface to this question, I think like 99.9% of the people that start a cleaning business, they want both time freedom and money freedom. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
But they don't necessarily know how to get there. So they don't also particularly know what's going to be the best niche or best market for them to go after to achieve these two specific goals. So some people just go like after kind of like a quote unquote shiny object syndrome, where they just go after move-in, move-out cleans or Airbnb cleans, which leads to 1,010 different new problems because of that place. If you can't find a move-out, I mean, you don't have any reoccurring revenue coming, A, and with the Airbnb, if it's not occupied, what are you going to do then? I mean, you have zero control over the amount of income you can generate from these two particular niches. So a lot of people ask, how do I get more move-in, move-out, or how do I get more Airbnbs? I think a better question to ask, I'll let you answer that, and then I'll give my two cents.
So what Aviv means by that is, I'll let you answer that, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong. So that's one of the things I love about Aviv. He's going to like laying a trap, and then I'll answer like, that's cute, nice try, but here's the right answer, which is will be fun. And then we'll argue, and you know, maybe it'll come to fisticuffs. It'll be great. We get something to look forward to. Ooh, all of a sudden the live jumps. Everyone's like, I want to see Mike get punched by Aviv. That'll be great. I want to see Mike punching Aviv. I don't want to get punched. Like, that doesn't sound fun at all. And again, he's obviously Israeli military, so I might not get punched. I might just get killed. So I guess maybe I better treat Aviv with more respect. If he's like, maybe you should do that, whether we're the military or not, dude. Like, would that be okay? Could you just be nice and assume? No.
Thank God, I'm already 38, and that's like behind me, so I'm 100% civilian right now.
Okay, so your punching and killing days are over, but you still probably remember some crap. I was never military, and if you take a once military versus never military, you know, the once military guy's probably is probably who I'm going to bet on.
But hey, dude, I think you do have a blonde soldier at home, so I would really be afraid of her.
So. Yeah, so you might be able to punch me easy, but she'll shoot you in the head. You don't want any of that trouble. So, yeah, good. See, wrong question. Will Mike punch me back? That's not a great question. Maybe he will. Mike's a big fella, but will I get shot in the head by his wife? That's a more powerful question. That's a more important question to ask. Lou, one of our other coaches came on. He's like, what the hell? I thought you guys were talking about cleaning. Why are we punching and killing? Sorry, Lou. This happened. Once we go live, you know, we do what we want. They say it's hard to hear Aviv. So Aviv, maybe you should yell, scream, or talk into the mic. All right. The question was, what do we do with folks that are like, how do I get more move in, move out, and Airbnb cleanings? I'm going to throw in there construction cleanup for all of you construction cleanup folks. Okay, so believe it or not, I make a big distinction between two of those. We don't coach to do at all. So my answer would be, how do I get non-those cleaning? How do I get out of that cleaning altogether? And we'll talk about that. One, I'm fine with us doing. I just don't know if it's my favorite for being our whole business model. So the two that a lot of folks do are move in, move out, and construction cleanup. And the reason that we do that, or when I say we, I mean you guys, is they're easiest to get, right? But let's just take that in, you know, all of our clients are really relationships. So let's just take it to a relationship. Do you want the wife that said yes first and without any question and was desperate to get married? Or do we want the husband or wife that maybe was a little more selective and maybe took it a little more seriously, right? The reason it's so easy to get move in, move out, and construction cleanup is those businesses are nearly impossible to scale. They're very, very hard to keep profitable. They're very hard to systematize, right? Because it's a new thing. Let's just take move in, move out. It's a new thing every time, right? And I know you're saying it's not recurring. B, it's a new thing every time. And I know you're saying it is recurring. I have an apartment complex and they do business with me every month. I get it. Some months they're like, we have 93 turns you need to do in a span of 4 days. Now you've got to go staff up 62 people that, hey, I need you to work 12 hours today and tomorrow and the next day and then none for 3 weeks. That is not going to get you a high caliber individual, right? It's not scalable because you have to constantly be rebidding. And the move in, move out, one might just be a move out that's super easy. Like, I made money here. One might have like human feces spread everywhere. And you're like, well, who is living here? What on God's green earth is going on? And those aren't so great. It's not scalable, I promise. You just can't charge enough. Also on move in, move out, construction cleanups, you can't get paid in advance. So you're always cash negative. So there's, I can get into the dozens and dozens of reasons why move in, move out, and construction cleanup is not scalable. You can't. It's not profitable, but that's not what this is about. Let me just, I'll just give you data because we've done this over and over and over again with the thousands of people we've coached and the hundreds that we've taken in kind of our top level program. Everyone that does the work gets results and transforms freedom scale. That said, zero people I've ever seen were able to get past $500,000 in the, well, that's not true. Zero over $1 million, very, very small handful over $500,000. And none of them had freedom. They all were stuck at their job on the site. There's not enough margin. There's not enough. You just can't buy the resources you need with the money that you're going to get. So the reason those jobs are so easy is because it's churn, 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 churn. One of three things happens. So I'll just tell you what's around that corner so you don't have to go around the corner. You can just listen and miss it. One, they just go out of business because they can't make any money, right? You get one good customer that they've always paid. They've always paid this, blah, 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 that doesn't pay, out of business, right? You get a $20,000, $30,000 receivable with one customer and you're only doing 10, 20, 30 grand a month. That's the end, right? Two, you kind of get smart and go, well, I can't make any money. I'm going to get the good work. Or three, you just get ground out until you quit. All that turns into high demand. And again, also super cyclical, right? Right now you might be, I'm crushing it, Mike. You don't understand. I'm making so much money. Move in, move out, construction cleanup. Yeah, I can see two high-rise construction projects from my seat. Good, fine for a year or two. You can make money. You will not have a business that you can sell. You won't have something you can leave. You don't have something that's scalable, dependable, repeatable. And maybe it'll last for 6 months, maybe 2 years, who knows, but it shall crash and you shall be done. So the value you're building is virtually none. Same with move in, move out, right? If there's lots of churn, that works. When it stops, it doesn't. So all that to say, a better question to ask is, which client, and again, we start with goals. Where do we want to go? And core values, what rules do we want to play by? Those are always going to be questions one and two. The next question that you're going to ask that's going to be effective for you is, what client base will get me there most quickly? And I promise you, if you're on, and the dumb thing we go is, well, I've got a friend that's a realtor and she can bury me in work. Yeah, in crap work, right? Like, it's easy to, there's a reason, right? There's like, I got a guy that, you know, could bury me in dates, right? You're not gonna be like, how many, hundreds or thousands? You're gonna go, do you have any information about these dates? What caliber of man or woman are we talking about here, right? Like, it's not always quantity. There's some quality involved. So the better question would be, what is the best niche to help me reach my goals? And I can promise you, if we were able to talk one-on-one, zero answers are going to be construction cleanup, move in, move out. Did I cover Aviv or did I miss? Okay, now there's my answer. Aviv, give the right answer.
So everything was beautiful. You're absolutely right. I'm with you 100% on the same page.
But just. I know you too well.
Just to edify and to seal the deal. It's absolutely not predictable. And mm-hmm. just if you only think about pure numbers, instead of just focusing on one job, which is like $500, try to take a step back, focus on the big picture, and just attain one client that pays you like $400 per month. Per year, that's $4,800. If they stay with you like on average 5 years, that's 24 grand. And you can get 3 more referrals from them, that's a ton of money. So instead of just focusing on getting that quick $500, focus on getting one reoccurring client that would stay with you for years and years to come and would refer more people to you. Basically, the cost of client acquisition are the same, could be the same, but the return would just, I mean, you can't really compare the two.
That is such a good point, and it brings up my next kind of least favorite trait I see in people that really holds it back, and it's frustrating as coaches. We see the same mistake over and over again. So I'll give you two examples, one non-cleaning, one cleaning, and then you can go, oh, holy crap, that might be me. So I don't do it very much anymore. I used to speak, right? And you, for a keynote that's like 60 or 90 minutes, you might get $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000. So dumb Mike would think, we'll just call it 10 grand because it's a round number. Holy heck, I made $10,000 in 90 minutes. And I think everybody would agree, that's fantastic. Look at you, you're rich. You stand up and talk like an idiot and people pay you with this crazy talk. Agreed on all of those things. But the math, I was not doing the math. So how'd you get that client? Well, you know, to really, it took me 20 years of buying, selling, building, making a bunch of mistakes of businesses to get the stuff. But let's just say that was free. Let's just say I had that. We're good. So just take all that 20 years, throw it in the garbage like it didn't even cost. Oh, and hundreds of thousands of dollars in mentoring and coaching and all that sort of stuff. But just take that off the thing. Let's just say. All right. So even if I had that for free, I still got to get a client, right? And I promise you, if someone's going to pay you 10 grand, there's going to be hundreds of people in the audience. And if they're going to put you on a stage in front of hundreds of people, they're pretty particular about who's on stage and what you do. So I might have had to practice speaking or speak at the Olive Garden to 9 people for a free lunch, if, you know, one appetizer or something, 27 times to get to where I made $500 on a stage at the Rotary in front of 20 people to get 10 grand. Let's just say that's all gone. Say, okay, fine, Mike, I'm just magnificent right off the bat. I can command the attention of 500 people and I'm worth 10 grand right now with no work. Okay, we'll live in that fantasy land just for a second. Okay, how are you gonna get them to hire you? There's 1,000 other people that have done that. Oh, all right, so you gotta do marketing and you gotta have sequences. So you gotta build all of that time out. Once you do that, say they do hire you. If you're a good speaker, you're getting paid 10, 20 grand for 90 minutes, I promise you, you're gonna need to research that audience. Like, God forbid, you just get up and like, I'll wing it, right? You're gonna wanna spend, for me, that'd be probably 30 or 40 hours preparing to address that audience before, during, and after my presentation to make sure that I brought that kind of value. So that's now 40, all of a sudden it's now 41 and a half hours if it's a 90 minute keynote for that 10 grand is not starting to look so good. By the way, you know, during COVID, God bless the speakers, I should have still been in it. You could do it over Zoom. But when I was doing it, you got on a plane and, you know, for me, because again, if you got people waiting there, you must be there at that time. You got food poisoning, you can vomit before and after you speak, but you will be on that stage at that time, right? Same with flying in. Like, I'm not going to take the last flight out and just be like, well, hopefully it doesn't get delayed because there'll be 500 people waiting for me. Like, I fly in the day before, right? So I've got to leave my house. I've got to do a fly day. I'm kind of preparing, getting ready that day before. I'm going to meet and mingle with the people. And then, you know, after that, typically I'm not going to fly out maybe fly out that night. So minimum 2 days, probably 3 days out. Gone. So now all of a sudden, if there's 24 hours in a day, call it a day and a half, it's 30 hours plus, we got 100 hours into this thing. And all of a sudden you start doing the real math. You're like, wait a second, that 10 grand is not all. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. Or it's not about speaking or the fee. It's about understanding the fallacy of I make $10,000 an hour and a half. Okay. You know, this is silly as saying an NBA player that only played 1 minute made $1 million that year makes $1 million a minute. Okay, if you assume he never practiced and then, you know, what did he do to get on the squad? And like, there's all the practices and the diet, everything you got to do. So what that looks like in the cleaning company is I make $150 an hour. What are you talking about? Well, I have a floor work. It took me 3 hours, made $500. So I make $150 an hour. Okay. Assuming when you woke up in the morning, the floor scrubber, the wax, the stripper was all there. You didn't have to do anything to get the job. They pay on time or before time without you asking. You didn't have to take any classes to figure out how to strip and wax the floor. There's no marketing. There's no, assuming all this insane stuff that's not the truth. Yes, I guess you make $150 an hour. So when we get into that, yeah, I just want to make sure people understand. What drives me nuts is people will sign up for our breakthrough calls and we've got like typically about 300 of these calls booked and we have 3 coaches. That's 100 a month booked. And people will text or email, oh my God, I got a job. I got to go work. I'm like one part furious and 2 parts, it breaks my heart, right? Like I can't manage my life. I don't have any freedom. I've got to go to my job effectively. I lie to myself saying I make $150 an hour, but when we finally do get on, and then they miss because they're going to make $300 or something. They miss a call that's going to change your life. It makes me just want to punch somebody. Not a V because they'll punch me back, but you know, like a small child or an animal of some sort. Just don't punch animals. I'm joking. Again, because they do the wrong math. And when they finally, if we can ever do get them on the call and we walk through it, typically the conversation works something like this. How many hours do you work a week? 30. Is that cleaning? Yeah, I clean 30 hours a week. Okay. What about answering texts and billing and receiving? Oh, well, that takes another 25 hours. Okay, so we're now at 55 hours a week. Anyone helping you, your spouse? Oh, yeah, my wife does another 50. Okay, now we're at 70 hours a week. How much money did you take home from your business last month? $3,000. All right, got my fancy abacus here. We're gonna do this and see how that, you know, $150. So if it would take 70 hours a week between the two of you times 4.3 weeks, there's more than 4 weeks in a month. That's 303 hours in a month. If you made $3,000 in that month, take home, regardless what the company took in, if you only had access to $3,000, you're making $10 an hour, dude. So All right, sorry, way on a topic, but that's the thing. So the question is not how can I get more $150 an hour jobs. The question is how can I, what tasks can I do that will get me to my ultimate goal of freedom faster, not my stupid goal of I can make $150 stripping in an hour stripping stuff. All right. Holy crap, we are almost out of time. Aviv, I'm done. I've talked way too much, as is my custom. I'm going to let you take us home, say something wise to send them off on their way, and we're going to call it a day, buddy.
Yeah, so two last things. Just number one, if there's, you know, we have a couple hundred people that are joining the group every single week, I believe. So for those of these people that just joined us recently, could you tell them, like, in 40 seconds how we can actually help them out?
Yeah. So when he says the group, I'm assuming the Facebook group. We get, you know, that 15,000 person Facebook group. We probably get 100 or so a week, or hundreds per month, maybe per week. And they're new. They just hear growing cleaning company. I have a cleaning company. There's a lot of ways we can help. So first of all, we've done over 600 podcasts with owners of cleaning companies, with myself, like just walls of free coaching. Excellent place to start. Second, and all this is at growmycleaningcompany.com. So you can get all there. You can follow us on Instagram if you're more like, what's Mike up to? That's a little more fun, and there's some coaching, but there's more fun on that. The best place is probably growmycleaningcompany.com. There's the free masterclass, which is like the 60-minute summary distillation of my 20 years of business experience, my 6 years after that of, you know, still being owning a coaching business, all in like 50 minutes, kind of distilled down. I don't know that Aviv can do a ton, but we can kind of make it for the first 10, maybe, that are like, and let me put down some rules that are like, I need some one-on-one help. Like, I'll do, and I, again, I would still do all this stuff before you get on with Aviv, but if you're like, I would love Aviv to like talk about my business, where I'm at, I'm just starting, I don't know anything, or I'm cleaning, I need to get out of cleaning, or I'm out of cleaning, but I've been at 20 grand a month and I don't know how to, I can't get out, right? If you're like, I just need a human being that's smart to talk to, we can do maybe the first 10. Is that okay, Aviv? Because I don't want to overwhelm you. Okay, so for the first 10 that reach out.
It's my lucky number, 12.
I was not aware. So Aviv, now there's 12. It's extra work for him. What do I care? So for the first 12 that reach out, what's a good way for them to reach out and do jump on a call with you just to get clear on where you're at, where you want to be, and help, Aviv will help you come up with a plan to do that. And well under half of the people that we talk to, the plan is for us to work together, right? So people are like, is this going to be some sort of sales call? Maybe. We're going to sell you on what you need to do to take action. Yeah, so if, and sometimes we think that working with us is the best way, we'll tell you. And you can take it or leave it, we don't care. Well, we do care, we want you to succeed, but we're fine. We'll get enough, we make enough money with or without you. Sometimes it'll be lots of different options, but the goal is not to sell you something. The goal is to help you get clarity on where you're at, get real clear where you want to be, talk a little bit about what's holding you back, why you're stuck, and then create a real big boy, big girl plan to move forward. And if that means we work together, God bless, fantastic. If not, that's okay too. Couple ground rules. We have no easy button stuff, right? I wish there was some sort of like, hey, just give us a bunch of money and we'll do everything for you, heavy lifting, you'll just be a millionaire. I'm still looking for that product to provide y'all. We don't have it. You got to be all in, committed, gritty, 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 do what it takes no matter what. Step out of your comfort zone. This has to be a big enough deal where someone calls with a $1,000 job you can make this weekend. If you just miss the appointment, go do it. You're like, screw that. I'm not interested in this $1,000. I'm interested in financial freedom forever. So if that's where you're at, Aviv will take the time. These are complimentary. We're going to do it no charge. But you got, that's not true. There is a charge. It's not financial. It's you showing up all in, committed, like, I will be there no matter what, and I'll be coachable. And when Aviv says, here's the scary thing that you need to do to go forward, because there will be a scary thing. I don't think, I've done hundreds of calls. I've never had a, here's the easy button, just do this and you'll be mad. It's never. It's, because again, we're like, I'm doing this thing and getting this result, and I want wildly different results, but I'd like to do mostly the same thing. How do I do that? I'm like, I don't know. We don't have that solution. So when Aviv gives you the wildly different set of things you need to do, the deal is you don't have to do them, but you're not going to get wildly different results. So if you're like, I'll do it, whatever. I mean, legal, ethical, moral. I promise Aviv will only ask you to do things that serve you and your fellow human, nothing weird or anything like that. But scary, out of your comfort zone, growth, right? Having to be, lots of stuff like that. So if you're like, I'm scared, but I'll do it, you can reach out to Aviv, and if you're the first 12. So Aviv, I don't know, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you? Email, or what do you think?
So I think Lindsay from our team is going to drop this here in the comments inside the Facebook group that we have. So you guys will have a direct link to book call with me.
So I'll give you two. One, let me actually, if it's okay, Aviv, I'd rather they just email you, because if she does the link, then anyone can just do it, and you'll get 100 calls, and you'll be pissed. Yeah. And it's in there, so we're just gonna have to, like, there's the link.
We can also give the email.
Let me give the email. It's Aviv.
If somebody wants to chat.
Yeah, so I would start with email, because Aviv's going to get overwhelmed if you guys just go there. So Aviv, A-V-I-V, Aviv, like Tel Aviv, but no. And he'll tell you the whole, I now know, Tel Aviv the city, and Aviv, I know all that. If you maybe if you're nice, Aviv will help you with that. So tell, like Aviv, like Tel Aviv, at growmycleaningcompany.com. Email him there. We may not, for the live folks, there's the link. For the recorded folks, we may or may not share the link. You can email Aviv at growmycleaningcompany.com. All right, we are way over on time. Aviv, you're a mensch. Love you, dude. Let me know how it works out with these guys. Talk to you soon. See ya. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.